This is Matt from Three Count Thursday. We are recording an exclusive interview for our website with the one and only Valentina Vasquez. Thank you for coming on the show.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, so the first question that we always like to ask is just the generic, what got you interested in wrestling? You know, was there a specific age that you remember, this is when I started to enjoy the industry, and was there a specific wrestler that made you a fan?
So I have a really big family, and my brothers were really into wrestling. So they used to do, like, all the wrestling moves on me as, like, a small three-year-old. And so I've always been watching wrestling from a really young age. But I, from what I remember, I really loved Chris Jericho and Eddie Guerrero, and then the Hardy Boys were kind of my thing. Those were, like, the things that I remember the most. When I started really paying attention to wrestling. So all the, like, the cruiserweight.
Yeah, for sure. Were any of your brothers then involved in wrestling too, or were you the first from the family to get into it?
No, my brother actually used to wrestle as well.
Okay, great. And any backlash from mom or dad when that happened? I remember as a kid saying, like, that I wanted to get into wrestling, and my mom was like, no, you don't. So that's where that ended. So anything from your side?
No, not really. I think my brother was more apprehensive for me to start wrestling rather than my mom. She was kind of like, she didn't care. She was like, I'll support you, whatever you want to do. So my brother was kind of more of the one that didn't want me to really step into it.
Gotcha. And when did, like, his apprehension end, or has it ever?
I don't know. We don't really talk about it now. It kind of,
it's just
happening. I don't know. He probably still is, but hasn't talked to me about it.
Okay. So then when you decided you were going to make the jump from being a wrestling fan to actually being a wrestler, what were kind of the steps that you took? Was it, like, find a training school first? You know, did you lean on your brother at that point for some advice, or did you kind of do your own thing?
So I was, like, scared to tell my brother, so I didn't tell him at all. He actually only found out when I, like, debuted on the show when I started wrestling. I know a wrestler that lives around the corner for me, or for my parents' house. His name is Mike Dell. And so I asked him what training school did he go to. He told me, but he told me to go to CZW because he was there at that time. And I was like, all right, cool. And that's how I got into doing training at CZW. I was supposed to meet Preacher, but DJ ran the class that day. So I immediately met DJ the first day I was there, which was interesting. His class for the first time was really difficult. I think he wanted to break me to see if I actually really wanted to do this or not.
Yeah, that's one. We've had DJ on the show before, and his kind of passion is apparent right away. So what is, like, going to the CZW dojo, you know, that training for you, how was, like, a normal day-to-day training for you?
Well, it depends on who's there, like, which class you go to, because Jimmy Raver is on Monday now, and then Joe Gacy's on Tuesday, and DJ's on Thursday, so everyone's kind of a little bit different. But DJ usually does a lot of bullet drills in the beginning, which is, like, a lot of rolling, a lot of cardio, so like, your first 2 hours is mostly just doing cardio work with DJ. Which is difficult, especially for a lot of the new people who aren't really in shape as of yet, like me. I think I vomited, like, 3 times. Once I started doing DJ's classes, that's how, like, it was hardcore. DJ does not play. He's like, you're going to be in this business, then you're going to be pushed really, really hard. But people should join anyway. Not to discourage anyone at all.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of CZW guests on, so I like to hear, like, how the training went for each one, because I think each experience is kind of unique in kind of how they build you as a wrestler. So was there anything, like, initially, I know you said that the cardio was tough, but anything else that you kind of struggled with initially, and now it's just, like, you look back and you're like, man, I can't believe that this even gave me trouble at all?
I don't know. I feel like more of it was, like, mental for me, like, second-guessing myself a lot. and that kind of made training hard, because then you're always like, am I doing this right? Am I going to hurt someone? But now I kind of you kind of just don't think about it. You just do it, especially being put on shows. You kind of get over the fear of second-guessing yourself. I mean, you still get nervous going on to a show, but with training, it was always like I always second-guessed everything I did rather than just being confident in doing it. So that was kind of one of my hurdles, definitely in the beginning.
So then going back to that first show, and this is kind of something we always like to visit with our guests, like how much do you remember about it? Like, do you remember, was it something that you were like able to soak in the moment, or was it something that your nerves were just like, let me get through this first one, and then, you know, from there you were fine?
So my first show, I was like injured. So when I first debuted, I couldn't really do anything. I was mostly just balleting. So I was nervous, obviously, because it was a bar show. So it's more like everyone's drunk. So it's kind of, there's a lot more eyes on you. If you do something, someone will say something 10 times faster than anyone who, like, if they're not drinking in the crowd. But it was nerve wracking. But like I said, I really couldn't do much just because I was injured at the time. So I think it was more nerve wracking for Jordan and the Young, Dumb, and Broke guys than it was for me.
Now, as a valet, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, but when I actually had my first matches, I was super nervous. I was like, okay. I couldn't even think. I, like, forgot everything, I'm pretty sure. I was beyond nervous.
Now, since you've been an actual wrestler and then the valet, too, like, both very important but also very different aspects in the wrestling industry, what were you able to take from your time as a valet? Like, did that help with the nerves at all, or was it just a completely different atmosphere when you were going in to actually compete?
It did and it didn't, because it's different, right? I don't have to remember a lot. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a different atmosphere being on the sidelines and helping them out rather than actually having a match, because now the spotlight is mostly on you during the whole time, rather than valet, you kind of just come up every once in a while to make an interference. So, but it did make me more confident in being in front of a crowd. It's valet, you kind of have to interact with the crowd more, I feel like more than, because you're mostly paying attention to them. So it did make me more confident on going out there and being, and doing the Valentina thing. It made it easier, definitely. I mean, I was still nervous to actually have my first match, but valeting helped way more than just being thrown out there and doing a match on my own and never being out in front of a crowd before. It probably would have been the shits, to be honest with you. Can I curse? I'm sorry. I didn't know if I cursed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So then speaking of crowds, the CZW crowd itself is kind of its own animal. And we've had, like I said, a number of guests on. I think Maria Manick was the one that said, if you can wrestle at CZW, you can wrestle anywhere. So what has your experience with that crowd been like so far?
I haven't really gotten a match on the CZW card. But it is true. There are a crowd that is hard, to entertain or even be around sometimes. Like, if you can get them to even be on your side, that's awesome. And if they like you, that's even better. Because I've been to different shows and the crowd is completely different. A CZW crowd is, it's way different than a lot of other shows, for sure. They're very hard to please, that crowd. But, hey, I love it, so it puts more work for me and the group to go out there and do our best, so.
And speaking of the crowd interactions, then, do you have a preference in terms of heel, face, how you interact with the crowd? We've always kind of heard that it's easier to be the heel, but or more fun for some people. So do you have one way or the other that you kind of prefer?
I'm usually heel, like 90% of the time. I don't even know how to be baby face. So I'm going to say heel, because I've never been a baby face. And when we are, like, forced to be baby face, it's like I don't really know what to do. So I think heel is 10 times more fun, for sure. You can say whatever you want, and they can't say anything.
Right, yeah, you're trying to get that reaction either way.
Yeah.
All right, so as you've come along then, has anything jumped out as been like your favorite part of being in the wrestling industry, you know, whether it's creating your character, designing gear if you've actually designed your own, you know, putting your entrance together, be it the music and how you interact, you know, is there one thing that really stands out to you as like, this has been the most fun part for me of being a wrestler?
I think mostly for me, it's like, can't like making my character be more believable. And then that is my fun part because I don't really have gear at the moment. I do have stuff that I put together, and since I'm a valet, I get to change my outfits a lot more than having actual gear. So that's fun too, but I don't know. I'm more of like, I like character driven stuff. So I like that aspect of the wrestling, being able to like do promos and figure out which promos I can do and how to build my character more into different things other than just being a stereotypical heel. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's fun for me. Other people can find making merch and doing all that stuff fun, but I think the actual character work is the best part.
Gotcha. And speaking of, is there anything that you've used, you know, like pop culture references, maybe a TV character, a movie character, anything that kind of inspired you for your ring character? We've had people that, you know, choose like a character from Sons of Anarchy or Parks and Rec. So is there anything that you like maybe even played off of a little bit?
I didn't realize it until I watched one of my promos that I'm starting to notice that Valentina is very Harley Quinn-like. And I like Batman, so that doesn't surprise me. So that eventually started molding into that that character. It's just like little things that I do. I'm like, oh, this. My friend even said it. I was like, oh, that reminds me of Harley Quinn. I'm like, I didn't even realize I was doing that. It's just my Batman obsession. I love the character and I love all the comics. So,
gotcha. So I was gonna ask, are we talking like Suicide Squad Harley Quinn or like the animated series Harley Quinn? Like,
I'm thinking more Suicide Squad comic book wise Harley Quinn rather than TV or movie.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, and you know, I'm Hispanic myself, so I know how important wrestling is in my culture, my background. So I always like to ask, is it in any way like incorporated into your persona? You know, obviously your name, but is there anything else that you kind of like took from your culture and was like, I want to make sure that I play this as part of my character to like embrace that?
See, that was difficult because at first I really didn't want to push my culture into a character because a lot of people will typecast it, I guess you would say. I don't know how to say that in this type of world. But then I kind of just did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm Puerto Rican. I might as well say that I am. I might as well, like, represent it because I feel like a lot of wrestlers, either they don't or they do. Like, either they go to the extreme max and then have, like, their flag everywhere, and I don't know, Puerto Rican, and Puerto Ricans always have their flag everywhere, but I'm not like that. I just want to say, like, hey, I'm Latina, and I want to be, like, I don't know if a good role model, per se, but just to be a role model in general, because there's a lot of younger girls who probably don't want to be a wrestler, just because of our culture can be more macho than it is for women. So I think if we show little girls that, hey, dude, like, she can do it, why can't I, then that's great. I think more people should represent their culture as well, especially in this climate that we're in right now. But I think that being Hispanic makes it easy. Like, I do funny things, you know, like, we'll do, like, the chancleta move in the in the ring, and it's just funny. Like, little things like that just make us laugh. Like, a lot of the other Hispanics that are with me, we'll, like, do things like that, and it's just, we'll find it humorous. And I think it sets us apart from other people, especially at CZW, where I don't think there is that many minorities in there right now at the moment.
Yeah, it's not an overwhelming presence there.
Yeah. I mean, the student and the dojo is very mixed. There's a super big minority class there, but on the actual CZW card, it's not so much like that. So I think anyone who is a little bit different can stand out in a crowd, especially there. It's great. So if I have to be more Rican, then I will to make me more different than what they are.
All right, and then to kind of go off of, you know, we keep getting back to CZW, but Philadelphia and, like, the East Coast in general is just packed with wrestling companies. So, you know, have you found this to be a benefit for you? I know some people, you know, they just try to find one that they stick with, and with so many, it's kind of overwhelming, and other people embrace that there's so many options that they can, you know, not just wrestle for, but also attend as fans, kind of see what's going on. So have you found it to be a benefit for you as your career progresses?
Personally, because there are so many in New Jersey in general, like, because CZW is like South Jersey, Philly, because sometimes they go to Philly as well. And they were originally in Philly based. So there is a lot in South Jersey that is happening, but it's all very similar, I feel like. But once you go away from the South Jersey crowd, the wrestling is different. Like, there is not really a main base in Central Jersey minus Synergy, and they're way different compared to, like, CZW, and it's family-friendly as well, so it's a different crowd. I think, honestly, like, more people should embrace it because you can change up what you do at a different place. Like, and then there's Capital, which is near Jersey City, and they're completely different from Synergy, and they're also way different from CZW and H2O and GCW and all them. Like, GCW, H2O, and CZW are very similar in that they like similar wrestling, and I think that's just a South Jersey thing.
Yeah.
But once you go up north and central, it's completely different. It's a different crowd. It's a different atmosphere, and it's different type of wrestling as well. So I think it's a great idea. You know, you go, like, Philly, New Jersey, and then New York City, which is a different crowd from the crowd in Jersey as well. So I think more people should embrace it. You get to do different stuff in front of a different crowd. You get to interact differently. You get to see what works in different places. So I think it's a plus. Other promoters might not think it's a plus, but I personally think it's a plus.
Right. And have you actually done that, like, since you've gotten into wrestling? Have you attended a show as a fan and just kind of watched, not taking part in anything, and just kind of, like, shown yourself what you've learned by watching these people in the ring?
Yeah, I do, especially in New York, because I really haven't gotten any, like, bookings out there. So I'll go to a lot of New York shows and, like, watch what's going on. And see where, like, either I can fit in or if I want to go and be a part of the show. I think the training has helped me a lot, seeing different styles and working with different people, because everyone's trained by everyone different. You can see, like, different type of things. That was super vague of me to say, but it's hard to explain.
Well, to kind of follow up on that then, you know, aside from your trainer, is there maybe one or two people that you feel like have been, like, invaluable to you as you train, as you get more comfortable in the ring? You know, are there, like, one or two people, or maybe a piece or two of advice that's really stuck with you since you've got in that has just really helped you as you grow?
Well, Preacher used to be my trainer at CZW. I used to go to a lot of his classes, and I still actually ask him for advice since he's gone to H2O. And, you know, like, a lot of what Preacher has trained me has stuck with me. Like, he's given a lot of advice, and he's, like, a character-based kind of trainer as well. And it's helped me a lot with being more comfortable in front of the crowd. Like, he's the one who pushed me out in the first place to be, like, a referee at one point. He was like, oh, you're going to ref. And he just told me right before I got to Dojo Wars. I'm like, okay. And I was super nervous. But him being that type of trainer helped me a lot in the end. Like, it made me not second guess every little thing that I was doing, which I still do at times. I don't think I'll ever get out of that habit, but it's not as bad as it was in the beginning, where I would, like, constantly be, like, anxious and always wondering, like, did I do this right? is this, am I doing this right, or did I do this wrong, or, you know, did I miss up the spot or whatever, and now I'm just kind of like, it is what it is kind of attitude, and I want everything to be perfect, but if it's not perfect, it's not the end of the world. And Preacher was kind of one of those guys who was like, hey, you need to get out of your head. Like, you need to stop doing that. Because if you are, you're going to hurt yourself and someone else. And no one wants that in wrestling. So, and DJ is also very similar in that sense, where he's told me the same thing. It seems to be my main problem. It's just second-guessing myself. But Preacher was the one who, like, buried it in my brain not to be that way.
Gotcha. And I did want to ask, because I did see the picture on your Instagram of you in the referee shirt. How was that experience for you? Because not a lot of people, like, understand that it is very difficult to ref a match. You know, it's not just you're dropping to the mat and counting to three. So how was that overall experience for you?
I hated it. I absolutely hated it. It was, for me, one of the most stressful things I ever did. Because if you mess up, you mess up the whole match pretty much. Like, if you mess up the ending, then you're at fault, and then it ruins all the work that everyone else put into it, and you have to make sure everyone's okay. So you have to really be paying attention fully to both parties and anyone else that's interfering, to make sure everyone's okay, everyone's safe, and that, oh, like, I forgot the spot, tell this guy, and then you have to run back and forth. It's a lot to do. Refing is a lot. I give a lot of credit to people who do that always, because I hated it. I hated every moment of it, and I never want to go back to refing. It was not fun for me at all, no.
Yeah, it's weird to think of, like, those roles in the wrestling industry that people kind of take for granted, like the timekeeper, the ring announcer. It's like those things have a lot of importance with them too, and most people are just like, oh, it's just talking on the mic, or, you know, dropping and counting to three. But like you said, it's stressful because a lot of that stuff falls on you then too. So I always like to ask, you know, wrestlers then who have that experience as well, like, how different was that for you? So it's always cool to hear that.
Yeah, it was another world, and I probably would never venture back into it. no thanks.
All right, so then speaking of travel, you know, we talked a lot about the East Coast, you know, the Philly, Jersey, New York. Are there any states or countries that are kind of on your bucket list? In my career, I want to wrestle in this state or in this country. Is there anything that sticks out as, like, the top for you?
I definitely would like to go to the UK, because I know they are, like, it's, like, booming over there. Japan as well. Mm-hmm. And Canada actually has a nice little wrestling stuff going on over there. And I would really like to just, honestly, if I can travel everywhere, I'm totally down with that as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if it's like Montana, I'd be like, yeah, I'll go to Montana for sure. If you want me out there, I'll definitely go. Like the UK and Japan and Canada would be great spots to go to as well.
All right, and then to follow up the dream destinations question, we'll ask our cliche, what is your dream match for your career? You know, you can pick the venue, you can pick any stipulation you want, obviously the opponent or opponents, but what is, like, this is what I would do if there was no limitations to me booking myself in a match?
Well, if Eddie Guerrero was still alive, that would be great. That would be one of my dream matches, definitely. I was talking about this to someone else, one of the students recently. I said I would love to go against Lita. She was one of the most, like, pioneer women in wrestling for the WWE especially. And I love the high flying, all her high flying spots. Which is, like, it sucked me in to women wrestling. You know, I didn't think women could be wrestlers just because of the fact that during around that time, they weren't really doing much. And then Lita came out and was doing, like, piratas and moonsaults and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I totally want to do this. So I would love to go against Lita for sure. It would be one of my dream matches. I probably would cry if that were to ever happen. Go to Madison Square Garden. Why not? Go big, go home, right?
Absolutely.
I think she's great. I think she deserves that. So, you know, I would love to go against Lita there. And most of my family lives in New York City. So that, for me, would be, like, a great spot for them to all just go there and see me. It would, yeah, I would definitely cry if that was to ever happen, for sure.
Has your family seen you wrestle at this point?
What happened? I didn't hear you.
Has your family been to one of your matches at this point?
Yes, they have. My grandmother came to one just recently, and DJ Hyde chopped the shit out of me. And she was, like, amazed. Like, I can hear her, like, scream. That's how, like, it was a hard chop. And DJ will say it wasn't, but I have the bruises to say that it was. It definitely was a hard chop. And my contact flew out of my eye. That's how hard he chopped me. So that was, like, her first match that she ever saw me, and she was like, oh, my God, they're hitting you too hard, like, my poor granddaughter. And I'm like, I'm fine. And my mom's like, she's fine. She'll be okay. Like, my mom has been to so many of my matches before then that she was just like, that was nothing, even though that was my first real big chop, and that hurt me. But she was like, she's okay. Don't worry about her. And I'm like, thanks, Mom. She probably worries about me. But no, I guess she saw me doing all the high-flying, like, Rana out of the ring and stuff like that. So that didn't even faze her. Like, she was like, she's okay.
Plus, you said your brothers have been doing these moves on you since you were three, so.
Yeah, like, I'm
built up a tolerance at this point.
Yeah, my three-year-old body just being flung around, yeah.
All right, so then before we let you go here tonight, we always just give you the time at the end, you know, take some time to plug your social media. Where can our fans follow you on Twitter, Instagram, and whatnot? Any upcoming shows where you can see you live? Anything that we might have missed? The floor is yours at this point.
Oh, okay. So I am on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. My Twitter handle is Val_Tina_ D, right? Has a D at the end? My Twitter handle? I believe that's my Twitter handle. If not, that's my Instagram handle. But I believe that's my Twitter handle as well. I believe that's my Twitter handle and my Instagram handle.
Yeah, we'll attach all of that.
Okay, so my Twitter one is not with the V at the end. It's just the underscore.
Okay.
But my Instagram is that, and my Facebook is Valentina Vasquez, just my name. You guys can find me. I'm sure if you follow all the other CZW people, my name will pop up eventually. I always have a match at Dojo Wars, which is the student show for CZW. That's out in Voorhees. If anyone ever wants to check it out, it's only $5 to come, and they do super shows on Fridays usually, which is $10. So I usually have a match on a Wednesday, if you guys ever want to check that out. It's Wednesdays. And the next CZW show is February 9th. And we should be doing – I would be with Young, Dumb, and Broke. I won't have, like, my own match on there. So, but, yeah.
All right. Perfect. So that's where we will be catching you. And we appreciate you joining us on the show. Always great to have a CZW member join us because it is such
Thank you. Great
place to learn, and we look forward to seeing your career grow as you keep training
you
and keep getting those spots.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on the show. It really was.
All right, thanks again.
Bye.